Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department. The world discovered together.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to Sunday with Miriam. Coming up in the next hour, 30 years of Riverdance, 50 years of marriage, and 75 years since he was born in Limerick. Composer Bill Whelan joins me to celebrate it all. Also today, Dungarvan chef and today's show regular Eunice Power tells me about the joy of completing her first cookbook at the end of a very tough year for her personally. And former Saturday singer Una Healy and Luke Thomas and the Swing Cats draw from the Great American Songbook for a Studio 8 session. As always, we'd love to hear your thoughts about anything featured on the show. You can text 51551, email miriam at rt.ie. You can WhatsApp on 0870 32 32 32. You can tweet at Miriam O'Cal, and you can find me on Instagram at instmiriam. And remember, you can always listen back to the show on the RT Radio app. But first this morning, musician, composer and arranger Bill Whelan celebrated his 75th birthday earlier this year. And to mark the occasion, there's an upcoming concert in the National Concert Hall with National Symphony Orchestra Ireland. And it's also a celebration of 30 years of Riverdance. Bill Whelan, good morning to you. 75 years old, 50 years married and 30 years of that Riverdance. Not bad. Do you ever get sick of listening to that? No, it's just so iconic, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's interesting that even after these 30 years, you know, when I go and see the show now, and I'll be in London coming up now in December because we're on tour in the UK at the moment. And I still get a buzz out of it. Yeah. I do, because, you know, the night was so special for all of us and you were there.
Yeah.
It was the memory of that still, and just listening to that little clip now brings it back again, you know.
It's amazing. And we will come back to that.
Yeah.
But first of all, let's start with the birthday. You were born in Limerick, I know. You were an only child. Were you much adored?
Well, it's an interesting experience being an only kid. It has its upsides and the downsides. The upsides are, I suppose, that you do get a lot of attention and, you know, you probably get indulged a bit more. The downside is that all the bad things you do are noticed a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I enjoyed growing up in Limerick. Limerick was kind of lively in the 50s and 60s. I was born in 1950. You know, an interesting thing that I discovered recently was that my father was born in 1900. I knew that. But his father, in other words, my grandfather, who I never knew, was born during the famine.
Wow.
That incredible.
It's not that far away.
It's amazing that you can touch the famine by my grandfather. And that makes it seem awfully real, you know.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there your dad obviously was 50 when you were born.
He was 50 and his dad was 50 odd.
Yeah. And your mom, I think your parents were both a little bit older. I mean, today people are having children later, but did it mean that your relationship was slightly different to your friends and their parents or not?
I think it did. I mean, I was aware as I became more conscious of, you know, as I was growing up, that everybody else's parents were kind of younger. And my father, we had a shop, you know, and my father didn't do the kind of sporting things that other fathers did. But then he had other interests, which were more adult interests. Mm. And that really got me into things like his interest in music was enormous. His interest in things like photography. And, you know, he had those more elder hobbies that don't require you to be terribly physically fit. But he was a fit man. He was an oarsman, actually, when he was younger. But, there was definitely a sense that my parents were different to the others. And then we had a shop, which is another thing that sets you apart, because the shop was open 364 days a year. We closed on Christmas Day and opened again on Stephen's Day. So the shop kind of ruled our life. So it was just the three of us in the house. And all of it, when I was able to, I was eventually put to work in the shop as well. So, it was different. But, you know, for all that, the one thing I suppose I really regret is that when things started to happen for me in my career, that neither of my parents were really around to experience it. And they had both indulged my music when I was growing up. So they weren't around for that. I regret that.
It's always the sad thing about life, I think, in a way, that when you want the people you love most to be there, they're gone.
Yeah, I know. Mm. And I had my mother had three sisters who were nuns. So my wife and I spent a lot of time with the nuns, and we took them to the shows and things. So they were my mother's surrogate for the shows.
Oh, yeah. And that's Denise, of course.
Yeah,
right. 50 years married?
50, yeah.
Where'd you meet Denise?
Met her in UCD, which you would remember. Mm-hmm. We met in UCD. She was doing social science and I was studying law. And we met in our second year in college. And then I walked her out for about 7 years. And then eventually... And then we got... Well, she actually, funnily enough, when she graduated in UCD, she got a job with the in Belfast, with the social services in Belfast. And she went to work in Belfast. And we were there yesterday, actually. It was just a bit of memories brought back. She went to work there on the first day of internment, was her first day of employment in Belfast. Yeah. So she was there all through the really rough, troubled times. And then she came back and we got married in 76 and immediately had four kids. Well, fairly immediately.
So what's your secret to 50 years of marriage, Bill?
I don't know if this is a secret. I suppose patience on the part of the wife and, particularly if you're married to a musician, we had no, there's no map for the musician's life, really. It's not like you go out at 9 in the morning and you're back for tea. It's a very, very disruptive life. But she was, I think she was very flexible about things like that. And very caring mother. So we had four great kids and they still have. And they're there and healthy and delighted to say. And we've now got six grandchildren.
Fantastic.
And the grandchildren are interesting. They're new, you know, the new Irish families. My eldest son married a girl from the Czech Republic who we're very fond of. We're fond of all our in-laws. She's from the Czech Republic. So we've two Czech-Irish grandchildren.
Excellent.
And then my other daughter married a Moroccan. Sad.
You're like the United Nations.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So we've two Moroccan Irish who are actually born in America. So unless Donald Trump has his way, they will continue to be American citizens.
Great. Yeah. Oh, that's so lovely. Yeah. Most important thing, healthy children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
I mean, we mentioned Riverdance earlier. I mean, the reach, the fact it's still so successful. I mean, do you know when you're sitting here now where it's playing right now and where it's going to next?
I do know the tours. It looks now that we're booked up right up into well into 2027. So, it's amazing. And now we have two companies. You know, we started off with one company, then we went to two, then we went to three. And now we're back to two. I mean, you know, the touring life is like the people who were in Riverdance, the young dancers and musicians in Riverdance now, weren't even born when I was writing it. And that's kind of sobering that when you go into the show and there they are and some of them are nudging each other and say, who's the grey-haired guy? In the corner? But it's been an amazing journey. And some of the things that we were expecting wouldn't happen did happen. For instance, the acceptance of Riverdance in China. It became almost like a major brand in China. And who would know, who would have ever expected that? Mm. I mean, I thought when we started first that we'd just play Ireland, we'd play maybe the Irish communities in England, and then we'd come home. But I mean, talk about getting it wrong. And we went everywhere, you know, all around the US. Germany has been an extraordinary territory for Riverdance in its acceptance of it and its love of it. It's been great. It's been a great experience.
And you mentioned there some of the young dancers. I always feel that about it. It's given such a chance to so many dancers to dance professionally. It's kickstarted a lot of careers. That's wonderful. But does it also put pressure on you or not?
Well, I mean, it's very interesting that you say that because, you know, when we started Riverdance, there was no such thing as a professional Irish dancer. Mm. You know, there were Irish dancers who taught music, certainly, or taught dance. And there were Irish dancers who did it for, you know, enjoyment and stuff. Mm. But now we have a whole team of people who just are professional Irish dancers and they tour with Riverdance or they go and they do other shows or they form their own shows or they teach. I mean, it's been, you know, there are Irish dance schools in Moscow. You know, who knew?
No one.
Yeah. And the responsibility, I suppose, is really... To your question about responsibility, I mean, I think they get out on the road together. They're young people. I think the company is very, very has to take care of them a lot. I mean, for instance, you know, we had Hayley Richardson's a fiddle player. She came with us when she was 17, so her mom had to travel with her. You know, so there are all these personal things that go out on the road when you get a large group like that, and you have to take care of. And I think. Owen Productions have done a very good job at that.
You're also a very good mentor. Funny enough, Zoe Conway was in here with us a few months ago and we were chatting about orchestration. And she said that you are a great mentor to her. I noticed that about you. It's the importance, I suppose, for you of bringing on the next generation, is it?
Essential. Essential. And I'll tell you, I'm in the building where I got a lot of mentoring. And it was, you know, when I started off first in my 20s, I was starting my early steps of orchestration and people who worked in this building in RTE, Noel Keelahan, Jim Doherty, Johnny Tate, all those, you know, people who were arrangers. I learned so much from them, learned by doing and making mistakes. But really, it was their encouragement. And I think that's so important. It's so important for older people.
Mm. Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
We don't talk about them. Yeah. Older people to actually help to bring
people.
On, and particularly as practitioners, because, you know, you can go to college, you can learn a lot of stuff in college, but there's nothing beats getting out and doing it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Now, before Riverdance, Bill, there was Planxty.
Yeah.
Let's take a clip.
Okay.
Did you get involved, Bill, with Donal Lunny and the other lads in Planxty?
Again, there was a sort of an RTE connection. I had been doing, Ian McGarry had asked me to do the music for a television series called My Ireland. And I brought in a number of trad musicians there. And there I got to meet Donal and later Andy. And We discovered we had a kind of a simpatico musically, and we got on well musically. And so they invited me to play on two Planxty albums, which I did. And then they invited me to tour with Planxty, which was at that time was Christy Donal, Liam and Andy and Nolly Casey and myself. And we toured and I played with them. And we wrote at that time Time Dance. In Donal and I wrote that in 1981 for the Eurovision. So that was like a precursor to Riverdance. And there's another example of kind of mentorship in a way, because I had been working in a kind of the more popular music world, but I had a big interest in orchestration. And you know, I didn't grow up listening to too much trad music in Limerick as a kid. But Donal and Andy were very important in bringing me into the fold and making me feel welcome in a world that, in a way, didn't really have a big welcome mat out for people who were not of the tradition. But I think that has changed completely now. When I see young trad musicians now, their vista is wide open. Mm. Their windows are open on all kinds of music that they want to hear and be influenced and interact with. So it's changed a lot. But Donal and Andy were really the
unbelievable duo, Donal Lunny and Andy Irvine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're like you. They're very gracious and giving and mentor loads of other younger people,
absolutely,
which is lovely. Now, the concert that's coming up in the NCH, you have in that as well the Connemara siblings, Seamus and Caoimhe O'Flaherty, mm-hmm, amazingly talented, and Colin Dunn, the dancer. So explain the synergy there.
Yeah, well, actually, Seamus, unfortunately, we haven't got Caoimhe this time.
Okay,
we have
fine.
Seamus. And Seamus I heard first when he was 14.
He's amazing.
And recorded him when he was 14. Extraordinary, an extraordinary item is Seamus O'Flaherty.
Yeah.
Plays all kinds of instruments and has a wide curiosity about music and language. You know, he's doing a course in German and Irish. Anyway, he's one of those people that are embarrassing. But anyway,
they're so clever.
Yes,
so talented.
Exactly. But Seamus and Caoimhe, I wrote this piece on Kishton within the Connemara suite, and it opens with a song in Irish. And Seamus is, as you know, a great Shannon singer. So he sings the opening, and then he lilts into the tune, and the tune is picked up by Colin Dunn, who's my old pal from early Riverdance days. And Colin will dance with the orchestra. So that's the coming together of two, almost like two generations as well, you know.
Yeah. And you've been so successful, right? But would you still get nervous when you're introducing maybe a brand new piece to the symphony orchestra? You've written a new piece for it. Does that still make you nervous how it will be received?
Absolutely.
Still,
absolutely. Until you hear it played down once or twice and it fits and works, then you're terribly nervous. And those first couple of minutes of hearing the music for the first time, because really you've just had it on the page up to there. It's always a daunting experience to walk. And I'll be quite nervous, I can tell you, on next Wednesday and Thursday when we go into rehearsals. But and I wrote up this piece specifically for the orchestra to highlight the musicians. So each member of each section in the orchestra gets a solo, and then they play those sections in ensemble, just like, say, the woodwinds together, the brass together, the percussion together, and the orchestra all come together at the end. So it's a piece that actually highlights the individuals and how those individuals come together to make up an orchestra.
Do you pinch yourself sometimes, Bill, you know, and think back on the little Bill Whelan when you were a young boy in the shop in Limerick with your mum and dad? And you mention places, you like, when you talk about your career, Carnegie Hall, touring China, all the success you've had. Do you allow yourself to sit back and recognise your achievements?
Well, occasionally. I mean, I do remember a moment in New York when we opened on Broadway. And I remember we had a day's rehearsal, and I went back to the hotel and I just lay down on the bed and I looked up at the ceiling, and somehow the weight of it all, the impact of it all, the meaning of it all kind of came in on me in a moment. And up to then, it was so busy about doing and going. And occasionally I do get those moments. I get those moments. Like yesterday I was in Belfast to attend the conferring of an honorary doctorate on James Galway, who's a dear friend and who I've written a suite for, a concerto for. And, you know, I think back to the shop in Limerick, if you told me that one day I would write a concerto for James Galway or work with Quincy Jones or, you know, all of these things have happened. And, you know, it's been a good 75.
Well, it's all deserved, Bill Whelan, all your success. Thanks so much for coming in here this morning, and safe home to Roundstone.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
Bill Whelan at 75 with National Symphony Orchestra Ireland is in the National Concert Hall this Friday, the 21st at 7:30, and tickets can be got on nch.ie. Thanks so much, Bill. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Miriam.
Take care.
Always a pleasure.
We'll have a break.